Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma's Mem Tes. We're starting today in the very first word of Mem Tes. I'm going to up with the word Meisvei. We are obviously Meisvei is the middle of a discussion, so let's put ourselves back in the discussion. A number of questions that were raised by Rav Papa yesterday. It happens to be that right now we're currently not in a question of Rav Papa, but yesterday was basically a series of questions of Rav Papa. In fact, today we're going to go back to Rav Papa and learn a couple of new questions from Rav Papa. But meanwhile, we are involved in a series of back and forths of the Gemara regarding some of the details of how to do the Kemitza and how does the Kohen Gadol do his Chafina and what exactly is going to be the process of both of these mitzvos. The picture here is worth 1,000 words, and a video would even be better. So I'm providing neither, but nevertheless, that is the Gemara's discussion. As part of the questions, although not related, the Gemara asked yesterday on Mem Chesmet Beis, what if one were to do halacha with one's left hand? Kohen who's doing the avoda, Kohen is doing his avoda with his right hand, as we pointed out yesterday. First of all, Kohen in general has to be right-handed. A Kohen who's left-handed is possible to do the avoda. On top of that, a right-handed Kohen must be doing the avoda with his right hand. The Gemara in Zvachim in the second parak says that the right-handedness of the Kohen is essential. Avodas have to be done with the right hand. So when the Kohen does any of the standard avodas of Shechita, of Kabbalah Sadam, of Zrika, so it must be done with the right hand. What the Gemara wants to know is there any flexibility regarding Holacha? When bringing the blood over from the Makom HaShechita to the Mizbeach, so this is the third step. This is what's called Holacha. So can we use the left hand, as we pointed out yesterday? Holacha is a little bit of a inferior avoda. We could dispense with it. We don't have to do the holacha. Keshech the carbon, keshech the animal right next to the mizbeach. So can we cheat a little bit with holacha? I'm using that word in context. So can we cheat a little bit with holacha? And can it be done with the left hand? And the question is further going to be reinforced by the idea that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he is going to be using his left hand. Kohen Gadol is going to be holding two pieces of equipment when going in. He's holding the kaf and the machta, the spoon of Ketores, and he's holding also a shovel of coals. The Ketores is being held in his left hand. The coals is being held in his right hand. So you see that there is a holacha that's being done, and one of the things that's being used is his left hand. So maybe, in general, we can learn from there that a Kohen can use his left hand specifically for the avod of holacha. That was the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara thought, yeah, you could. And we learn from the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara thought also there's a Mishnah Tamid that speaks to this idea as well as they're walking up the ramp on every single day. So they're bringing parts of the Karban Tamid up the ramp. All the parts of the Karban Tamid are brought up the ramp. 5 Kohanim in total are bringing 10 pieces of the animal. And so each one of them is holding part of the animal on the right hand, part of the animal on the left hand. So that seems to be another Raya. The Gemara didn't love that Raya. The Gemara notes that bringing the pieces of the Karban up to the top of the ramp, so that is an avoda, but it's not ma'akev. It doesn't provide kapara. So that's not such a good raya. But what is a good raya, however, is the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Bringing in the ketores and the machta into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is essential. And you can't go any further in the avodas Yom HaKippurim without this step. So it's essential. It's ma'akev. And so therefore we could learn from there. And that's where we ended off yesterday. So yesterday, if we just closed the discussion yesterday, I would have said that a Kohen can do holacha and holding the dam in his left hand. That would have been yesterday's discussion. However, the discussion progresses, and that's where we are right now. Mem Testament Aleph, and the Gemara continues Meisvei with a challenge, and the challenge is coming from a citation of a Braisa from the second parak of Zvachim. Zar, the Onain, Shikor, Ubamom, Bekabal of Allah of Izrika Pasol. So if I have any one of these disqualifications, one Zar, he's not a Kohen, two, an Onain, he's a Kohen, but he just lost one of his 7 relatives that day, 3 Shikor, he's intoxicated, 4 Ubamom, he's a Kohen, but he has a physical blemish. Any one of these circumstances where they were to do either the Kabbalah or the Holacha or the Zrika Saddam, why not mention Shechita? Because we all know why. Because Shechita is kasha bazar. You can have a non-Kohen doing the Shechita. So if any one of them were to do Kabbalah, Holacha, or Zrika, puzzle. So that's disqualified. V'chein Yosef, similarly, if you're doing it while in the position of sitting, you're not allowed to sit. So in general, you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. And on top of that, if you do the Avoda while sitting, that also disqualifies the Avoda. V'chein small. And if you do it with your left hand, so puzzle, so it's going to be disqualified. Okay, so Tiyifta. Okay, so that obviously now is going to prove to be a difficulty. It's more than a difficulty. It's a refutation, right? The position of who was it yesterday? Rav Sheshet. The position of Rav Sheshet was totally is now totally refuted because the Braisa says with no equivocation that if one were to do even the halacha with your left hand, so the avoda now becomes puzzle. Okay, so as much as yesterday we opened up the discussion, today we closed the discussion. And not only did we close the discussion, but we knocked it out. So you have to ask the question. In fact, not only do you have to, Tosfos Yerushalmi asked the question. Well, now if that's true, in other words, and this is in fact the Gemara's conclusion. So then, what about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Meaning he is bringing in the Ketoros in his left hand. So if as much as the Gemara has unequivocally now proven and concluded that using your left hand even for halacha is no good, so what's the Kohen Gadol doing on Yom Kippur? So Tosfos Yerushalmi asked that. You can see on the very bottom. Okay, it really will test your eyesight. V'chein small kasha. Okay, so umi mas nisan ein raya dahinu mishum de lo efshar v'karin lein nami ba'kametz ramba hutu mechalalo etzel yom kippurim. So what are you going to say about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So Tosfos Yerushalmi says very simply, it's an exception. Meaning there are rules and there are exceptions. So this is just going to be an exception to the rule. And as we already pointed out in the beginning of the parak just a couple days ago, so ein breira, there's just simply no choice. Meaning we would have loved it if the Kohen Gadol didn't use his left hand, but and when going into the Kosher Kedusha and having to hold two pieces of equipment, and one of them is a Ketoros, and there just simply is no other way to do it. He's only allowed to walk in one time. He can't walk in multiple times. So ein breira, so under those circumstances, that's an exception. But the rule is that you can't use your left hand. Okay, good. Our Gemara Tiyufta. V'ha Rav Sheshes who do usvei d'amar le Rav Sheshes la mara de Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So we just knocked out Rav Sheshes. The Gemara says, that's wonderful. Now, what do you want to tell me? That Rav Sheshes didn't know this Braisa? So that's very difficult. And not only is it very difficult, it happens to be that I know that Rav Sheshes knew this Braisa. So the Gemara over here records the following dialogue that Rav Sheshes had with the amara of Rav Chista. Amara basically is a human microphone. Right, Rav Chista was giving shir. So Rav Chista tells the Amara what to say. The Amara then goes ahead and says it. So now Rav Sheshes is talking now to Rav Chista's basically right-hand man. So by my name, Rav Chista, halacha bizar, mahu. So what if halacha is done by non-Kohen? So I'm like Sheira, omikra misayeni. So the response that he was given, now remember, Rav Sheshes is the one who's posing the question. Now the response that he received is, you can have a non-Kohen doing the halacha. And not only that, let's read a pasuk together. In Divrei Hayamim, Vayishchetu haPesach Vayizriku haKohanim Mi Adam VaLevim Afshitim. So they would do they would shech the Karban Pesach. The Kohanim would do Zrika from their hands. Here's what it sounds like: a simple reading of the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. The non-Kohanim would do the Shechita. The non-Kohanim would continue to do. Now this part's strange. Would continue to do Kabbalas Adam, and they would do Halacha, and only when you got to the part of Zrika, so then and only then did you have the Kohanim's involvement. It's a really difficult pasuk to read, as I just read it. Certainly, no one for a moment is going to entertain the idea that a non-Kohen could do Zrika Saddam. Okay, so, you know the pasuk is difficult at its face value. But anyway, but it certainly sounds from the pasuk that the Kohanim would be taking it from these people, meaning non-Kohanim, and that means that the halacha is done by non-Kohen. Okay, that's the pasuk. Most of Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes says, you can't be right. There's no way you could be right. Why? Because we have a braisa. What braisa is Rav Sheshes going to quote? The braisa that we just quoted on the top of the Amud. So, Zar v'onin shikor ba'al mom be'kabala v'alacha v'zrika pasul v'chein yoshev v'chein small pasul. So the braisa says, Rav Sheshes is quoting the braisa. And without going through the entire braisa, but just the part that's salient to our discussion, and that is that if you do the halacha in your left hand, it's going to be puzzle. It's not going to be good. So so why is Rav Sheshes now entertaining the idea that doing halacha with your left hand is good, and then only later to be refuted from the Braisa, and Rav Sheshes knew full well the Braisa? So the Gemara says, "Basa d'shamei hadar usvei." So the Gemara says, "Okay, it's very simple. Solution, super simple. Rav Sheshes learned the Braisa." Meaning, you're right. At one point in time, Rav Sheshes didn't know the Braisa, so now he was entertaining. Now that he knows the Braisa, he's no longer entertaining the question. It's really that simple. It's like all of us. We learn, so Rav Sheshes learned. So the Harav Chista Krakamar. So the Gemara says, okay, now to the conclusion now, so you can't have a non-Kohen doing the halacha. You can't have a non-Kohen doing anything other than Shechita. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember when the question was posed to the Amora of Rav Chista, so he quoted a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. What do you do with that pasuk in Divrei Yomim? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, "De avod ma'isa itztaba." So to which the Gemara's answer is, no, you misunderstood. They're not doing the halacha. What they're doing is that they're standing there like a statue, right? It's almost a literal translation of the Gemara, right? They're just holding it in place. Okay, they were given the dam. Hey, don't move. Don't advance the blood any closer to the mizbeach. Just stand there, and we'll take it from you. Okay, for whatever reason. But that's how to understand the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Otherwise stated, there is no allowance, of course, for a non-Kohen to do the halacha. The pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is not talking about a non-Kohen doing the halacha. He was just standing there like a statue. Okay. By Rav Papa. That brings us now to the next discussion. So, that now concludes yesterday's question. Can a Kohen do the halacha, but can he do it in his left hand? And the answer very simply is no. Okay, most of yesterday's questions went unanswered with a teku. Okay, the Gemara over here definitively answers that question. Next question. By Rav Papa. We are in Mem Tesem and Aleph. We're about a dozen lines from the top of the Amud. So this question now, it goes to Rav Papa. Yesterday's daf, mostly Rav Papa asking the question. So here we continue. Chafan chaver v'nasol aso chafanav mahu. So the Kohen Gadol has got to do the chafina. And that means to say that he's got to take his two hands, cup them into the pile of kitaros in order to take out the melo chafnav. Good, that's what we've been discussing since the beginning of this parak. What if another Kohen does it and then hands it over to the Kohen Gadol? So you had the chafina being done, and now it's in the hands of the Kohen Gadol. The question's very simple. Does the Kohen Gadol himself have to do the initial chafina? Right? Intuitively, I would say yes, but this is the Gemara's question. So, melo chafna bina v'ha'ika. So the Gemara says, look, are we interested in the process or are we interested in the result? So the result is that the Kohen Gadol now currently has the melo chafna, two handfuls of kitaros in his hands. He didn't go through the process of taking it. Okay, but it's there in his hands. So that's one possibility. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe lakicha becomes in a critical part. Read the pasuk in Achrei Mos, and you see that the word lakach, the verb lakach, is used over there. And maybe that becomes now essential. Not just the result of having the kitaros in his hands, but the process of putting it in his hands, of actually taking it himself. So the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, and hopefully it bothers you a little bit. You know, you go back to yesterday's daf, you don't have to go that far back. Basically, we had the same question yesterday. Not, it wasn't the same, but it was very similar. Remember how the Gemara asked the question of Beina Beinayim? What happens now if the Kohen takes the Ketoros and there's some now stuck between his fingers? So stuck between the fingers, that's not a Lakicha. That was the Gemara's point yesterday. So that's not a Lakicha. Lakicha is only what's in his hands, but anything stuck between his fingers is not Lakicha. And the Gemara wanted to know, is Lakicha going to be an essential part of the Melo Chafnav? And the Gemara yesterday left this question unresolved. We asked a different variation of the question in today's daf, but it basically comes down to the same question. Is Lakicha essential or is it not? So you can see the second Tosfos on this Amud, who's wondering, how come the Gemara effectively is asking the same question? Again, they're variations, but it's basically the same question yesterday and today's daf. Yesterday, Ben Abinayim, today's daf of another Kohen doing the Chafin and handing it over to the Kohen Gadol. So over here, the question becomes, is Lakicha essential? Yes or no? And Tosfos over here wonders, how come the Gemara is doing the same thing twice? See Tosfos for an answer. It's a little bit involved, Tosfos' answer. Basically, he says that the two questions are building one on top of the other, almost like in the style, not almost, in the style of Intim Salomar. Okay, go through Tosfos for a response to that. By Rav Yeshua ben Levi, we're back to our Gemara. Next question of today. So, chafin omeis maushi kanis acher bechafina so. So, let's say the Kohen Gadol, after having done the chafnaf, so rachmanis, the Kohen Gadol dies, and now, can somebody come in, take over? Well, that's not the question. Of course, somebody else is going to come in and take over, but can he use the chafina that was already taken by the Kohen? you're going to somehow the death did not affect the Ketores whatsoever in terms of Tumah. Okay, you're going to have to, obviously you're going to have to say that anyway. I'm Rabbi Chanina Bar Reish Elos Rishonim. So Rabbi Chanina was amazed by that question. Rabbi Chanina says, "Wow, let's take a look together at She'elas Rishonim, the early generations." Meaning, I cannot believe that the earlier generations are asking this this question. Meaning, we were asking the same question ourselves. And look, this question is already asked by earlier generations. Now, Rabbi Chanina is an Amora, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who was the one who provided us this question, is also an Amora. That we know for sure. Here's also what we know for sure: the early generation Amoraim. Here's the part that we're a little bit unclear about: who came before whom? Who's an earlier Amora? So, in the way the Gemara just presented to us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked this question about Chafan Umeis. The Kohen Gadol did the Chafina, then he died. And can another Kohen Gadol, who's going to take over, can he use the same Chafina? Okay, that's the question. And now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi provided the question, and Rabbi Chanina said, wow, earlier generations, meaning he's referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I can't believe he asked that question. So Lameimer, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kashish. So here, just based on the context over here, it's pretty clear that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is of an older generation. Now again, we say older generation, by the way, and we're not going back that far. Again, they're both early generation Amoraim. But it sounds that way. So the Gemara says, V'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but the Gemara now is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent because we think we know otherwise. So the Gemara over here just wants to get the historical record straight in terms of who came before whom. So we're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent. So the Gemara says, V'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Li Hitter Rabbi Chanina Lishto Shechlaim B'Shabbos. So Rabbi Shulman Levi says, I got the following Hitter, and who did I get it from? None other than Rabbi Chanina, and that is that you're allowed to drink Shechlaim on Shabbos. Now, what's Shechlaim? So I don't know, but here's what I could tell you: it's made out of cress, and I'm going to guess, probably doesn't taste all that good, and it's really therapeutic. Okay, so what exactly, it's therapy, I don't know. Maybe it's a laxative, I don't know. It's not that critical, but here's the point. The point is that it's a food, but it's really a food that's eaten for its medicinal value and not so much because we enjoy eating that food. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So Rabbi Chanina says, let me reverse. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, well, Rabbi Chanina said that was mutter for me. Okay, so from the context, what do you hear from this? What you hear from this is that Rabbi Chanina is of an older generation. So first of all, Rabbi Chanina is the one giving psak, but Rashi doesn't really focus on that. Rashi focuses more on the fact that how does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi describe, how does he refer to Rabbi Chanina? He calls him Rabbi Chanina, right? If they were colleagues, if they were contemporaries, then certainly if Rabbi Chanina was of a later generation, he was younger, so he wouldn't be calling him Rabbi Chanina, he would be calling him Chanina, okay? So the fact that he called him Rabbi Chanina, it means that out of respect, out of reverence, he's older. And so therefore, in this particular episode, so certainly the sense that we get is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is younger and Rabbi Chanina is older. And that's the exact opposite of what we just said. So as long as we got involved in this tangent, so the Gemara now is going to spend just a moment talking about what's the heter that you're allowed to drink this cress. So Lishos Pshita did not call Ochlin Ochol Adam Lerfuah V'Chol Amashin Shosa. So first of all, as far as the heter is concerned, I need Rabbi Chanina to give me this heter. It's a Mishnah. It's a Beferish Mishnah that any food that you are eating or drinking, even though you're really focusing on the therapy, on the therapeutics, but nevertheless, if it's a food, you're allowed to do so. So the Gemara says that I don't need Rabbi Chanina for that. So the Gemara says Ella Lishchok V'Lishtot Shechlaim V'Shabbos. Oh, so no, the heter is not the drinking of it. That we have the Mishnah. The heter is Shechika, that you're allowed to grind it up. Okay, so grinding up is one of the malachas on Shabbos, right? We're probably here in the Talada Tochein. Okay, so probably a Talada of Tochein. So that was the heter was to grind it up. So the Gemara says, wait one second, grinding it up, hechidami. Idi kesakanta mishre shari. Vida like kesakanta meser aser. So the Gemara says, wait one second. So if there's a sakana that's involved, so then fine, you're allowed to grind it up. But if there's a sakana, if the care that's necessary is critical care and his life is on the line, So then you're allowed to violate any malacha. That's fine. So then I understand the heter. But however, if it's not a sakana, if it's just mechush, if it's just he's uncomfortable, so then you're certainly not allowed to do it. So la olam deika sakanta v'achikami baile. So the Gemara says, no, there was a sakana. And so if there's a sakana, so then what's the back and forth? Meaning a person is in need of critical care and now we're touting this big heter. Oh, you're allowed to violate Shabbos. Of course you're allowed to violate Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, that wasn't the question that was posed to Rabbi Chanina. You know what the question was? Is it actually therapeutic? Now, normally, of course, you're supposed to ask a doctor whether or not therapeutic. Meaning, as far as Allah is concerned, so your Mechal Shabbos in order to provide critical care. But of course, you need a doctor to tell you, well, is that going to be helpful? Is that going to be therapeutic? If it's not going to be helpful, so then of course, it's a terrible situation. But you can't be Mechal Shabbos for things that are not therapeutic. So what they asked Rabbi Chanina was, is it therapeutic? So the Gemara says, Mi Masya. Denechal alai Shabbasa. Oh, lo Masya. Velo nechal alai Shabbasa. That was the question that was posed to Rabbi Chanina. Is it really helpful or is it not helpful? So, Umayshan Rabbi Chanina. So now the Gemara is bothered by the obvious question. Why are you asking a rabbi? Ask a doctor. So the Gemara says, Mishum Debaki Birfuzu. The Gemara says, because Rabbi Chanina was not only rabbi, but he was also a doctor. Right, Rabbi Dr. Chanina. So the Amar Rabbi Chanina, Olam lo shalani adam al makas preda levana v'chaya. So Rabbi Chanina over here, just one example of his knowledges of medicine. He says, look, if you get, now it's either bitten or kicked by a white mule. So there's no helping with that. In other words, I've dealt with enough cases and I know that Rachmanis, unfortunately, it's a terminal situation. So the Gemara says, Vaka chazina dechai. Now the Gemara says, I know we're really like in a tangent, within a tangent now, within a tangent. So okay, fine. We'll eventually come out of all this. So the Gemara now wants to know, what do you mean nobody recovers from a white mule, from either the bite or a kick of a white mule? The Gemara says, we've seen it. So the Gemara says, ema v'chayas. The Gemara says, no. Yeah, it's not terminal, but the wound never really heals. Okay, whatever the ailment is, either it's some sort of serration, whatever it is, the point is that they never fully heal. So the Gemara says va'akha chazina demitzah. The Gemara says once again, that's not true, right? We've seen people being attacked by the white mule, and we see that not only do they survive, but they heal just fine. So once again, the Gemara is touting the medical knowledge of Rabbi Chanina, and the Gemara is just wondering. I don't think he's right. So the Gemara says, no, b'muskan inu v'chivran resh karayu, kamrinan. Now we're talking about b'sumkan inu, and v'chivran resh karayu. No, we're not talking about the white mule, we're talking about where the mule is really red in general, and it happens to be that it's got white rings around its hoofs. We're talking about that kind of mule. Okay, just last week I had the good fortune of rafting, and so we saw a snake. And I don't know one snake from another snake. What do I know from snakes? So up in the mountains in Georgia. But some of those little guys are poisonous. And in general, I have no interest in seeing the snake. So we had guides. So they told us whether or not it's, you know, really dangerous or no, you know, just, you know, it'll just bite you and it'll hurt. Wasn't interested either way. But anyway, so the Gemara says basically the same thing over here. So the Gemara says, no, a certain species of mule, where it bites you, and that's what Rabbi Chanina was making reference to. Okay, so mikol makom shmaimin ad Rabbi Chanina kashish. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay. So now we're only backing up one tangent. Okay, so the mule and how it damages you and injures you, good. Now the Gemara is back to the first tangent, which is, hey, you know, Rabbi Chanina actually is older than Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So the Gemara says, Ela hachikamar she'altin k'she'ela shel rishonim. Okay, so. Fine. So the Gemara is now convinced that Rabbi Chanina is an earlier generation. And I say generation, by the way, again, we're not talking about, in other words, they may have even overlapped. Rabbi Chanina is older than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And then what Rabbi Chanina was amazed by is that, look, they, meaning the younger ones, are asking the same question that we're asking. Okay, that's fine. So we got everything squared away in terms of who is older than who. Rabbi Chanina's medical prowess, et cetera, et cetera. Now let's go all the way back to the question, which is what started this whole discussion. It was almost a half an amud of tangent. But okay. But now let's return to our regularly scheduled program. So the question that's on the table right now is that the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina, Rachmanis, he passed away, and now can another Kohen use that very same Ketores? Umi Amar Rabbi Chanina, Chavam Rabbi Chanina, but Par v'lo b'dam shopar. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Rabbi Chanina is entertaining this question. There's no way Rabbi Chanina is entertaining this question. Meaning we know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is entertaining the question. That's where all this started. And Rabbi Chanina said, hey, we're thinking about the same question. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Chanina is not thinking about that question. How do I know that? Because because Rabbi Chanina holds of the following. Bepar v'lo b'dam shopar. Now here's a halacha which we're going to be discussing at the end of today's daf on the Amud Beis, and that's the following. So let's say the Kohen Gadol did his vidui with the par. Remember, with the par, he does vidui two times. And afterwards, he shechted the par. Now the blood's been collected. And you have another Kohen who's storing the blood until it's ready to be used. Fine. And now the Kohen Gadol dies. And again, quickly, we're going to bring in the understudy. And we're going to, and he's going to now continue with the avoda. Can he use that dam? So on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we're going to be debating that very issue. And it happens to be that Rabbi Chanina is of the opinion, nope. And what you have to do now is that you have to go back and you have to get a new par and shecht a new par and do vidui again. In other words, even though you have the dam par, but the next Kohen Gadol has to be using his own par. And that's the drasha of bipar v'lo b'dam shopar. Now the Gemara says, okay, so let's consider now. So you now have the Kohen Gadol who did the chafina. Now, if he has the chafina, what does that mean? By definition, it means that we already shechted the par. So now he dies. So according to Rabbi Chanina, what do we do now? We got to start back. We got to go back to the par. We have to get a brand new par. We have to do vidu of the brand new par. And remember, everything in Yom Kippur is sequential. So now that we did a new vidu on the par, so that means by definition, we're going to have to be doing a new chafina. So Rabbi Chanina is not entertaining this question about reusing the other Kohen Gadol's chafina, because if we're asking that question, then according to Rabbi Chanina, we're going back and getting a new par, which by definition means that we need a new chafina. So the Amar Rabbi Chanina ketar shechafna kodem shechitas hapar lo hasav lo klum. And as we just got done concluding, that means that according to Rabbi Chanina, the chafina that was done previously is nothing. So what does it mean Rabbi Chanina is asking this question that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is asking? Right? We already clarified who's older, right? Rabbi Chanina is older, but he's not entertaining the question. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Chanina acknowledges that his position is really clear, that it has to be that the Kohen Gadol is using his own par. And if now, whatever, Rachmanis, the Kohen Gadol dies, and now we're getting another Kohen Gadol, so he's got to bring his own part. That's Rabbi Chanina's own viewpoint. But he acknowledges that not everyone agrees to that viewpoint. So, Ulamai desvire lei, shilta kishelas rishonim. Okay, so Rabbi Chanina says, look, here's what I'm ready. I'm ready to entertain the following. If your starting point is that you could just simply reuse the blood, so then that's great. So then reuse the blood. What about the chafina? Can we reuse the chafina? Good. That's a wonderful question. It just happens to be that Rabbi Chanina himself would never entertain this question because he's of the position that you can't reuse the blood. You can't reuse the blood. You can't reuse the chafina. Fine. Personally, the question will never get off the ground. But for those who entertain that you can reuse the blood, so now it's a wonderful question. Can I reuse the chafina? Good. Okay. That was all a really long way to ask one question. And we haven't answered it. So the question on the table is, Kohen Gadol dies after having done the chafina, and now the ketores has been taken. Can another Kohen Gadol come in and now just simply pick it up right here and not have to do the chafina? So my haviyala, so the Gemara says, okay, so new, so what's the answer? So Amar Papa, e chofen, chosef chofen. So the Gemara says, well, it really depends on whether or not chafina has to be done twice. Okay, now, this is also something that's going to be discussed twice in today's daf. So let's get comfortable with this idea. Chofen v'chozer v'chofen means the following. Of course we know chafin has to be done once by the Kohen Gadol. That's obvious. The Torah says, molo chafnav. A shovel full of ketores is going to be presented in front of the Kohen Gadol. And like we discussed in yesterday's daf, he's going to take his two hands, cup them into the ketores, and take out two handfuls worth of ketores. Good. Next is what he's going to do is he's going to transfer that over into a spoon, a particularly large spoon that he's going to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good. Now, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is he going to have to do Chafina again? So this is a question. They're going to be debating it later in today's daf, and the Gemara right now is making reference to this question. Now, there really are two options in terms of what you could do. One option is that you don't have to do Chafina again. The Chafina was done already. He knows he's got the requisite amount necessary. He went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim now. It's already been transferred over into a spoon. So here's what you could do. Take the spoon and just, and lay it over the coals. Not the spoon, but lay the Ketores, right? In other words, spoon out the Ketores on top of the coals. That's one possibility. The other possibility, which, by the way, spoiler alert, the Gemara is going to favor, and that is that no. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol has now got to transfer over the Ketores from the spoon back into his hands. Now, mind you, by the way, that's going to be a really neat trick. And not just a neat trick. The Gemara in today's daf is going to tell us that's really difficult. No one else is there helping him. And remember, it's two handfuls of Ketores. So how are you getting it from the spoon back into his hands? Okay, hold it. Think about it. Well, before in just a moment where the Gemara is going to give away the answer. But that's really hard. But there is an opinion out there which the Gemara is going to favor, which is that you have to do Chafina again. So, there are two opinions. One opinion is that you only have to do Chafina once, the initial time, and then when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you just simply, you'll pour out from the spoon right onto the coals. The other opinion is that no, Chofen v'chozer v'chofen, that you have to do Chafina twice. Now, what the Gemara wants to know is whatever your position over there is going to be, how is that going to impact our discussion? So we had, after the Chafina was done by the Kohen Gadol, he dies. Now we have our next Kohen Gadol coming in, all right, just picking it up right where the other Kohen Gadol left off. And so now, does he have to do Chafina again? So the Gemara now wants to know how these two questions are going to intersect one with the other. So let's see the Gemara inside. So Amarle Rav Huna, let me go back. So my Havi Allah. So Amara Papa. Okay, this is now about 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amara Papa. So let's say that you subscribe to the viewpoint that you have to do Chafina twice. So then good. So Chaver Nechnas Bechafina So, Dahamekaima Chafina. So then, I really see this as being pretty straightforward. Because anyway, the next Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the Chafina, so you're going to get a check on having done the Chafina. That's great. And he ain't Chofen Bechoz Vechofen Tibayla. However, if you subscribe to the viewpoint that Chafina is only done one time, so now this is a tricky one, because normally a Kohen Gadol is going to be doing Chafina once, but now he died, and now you're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this next Kohen Gadol, the replacement is going in. So the Gemara says, so now I can really hear both sides of the question. On one hand, Chafina was done. On the other hand, this Kohen Gadol has not done the Chafina. Okay, so that's one way the Gemara presents it. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, I could also see a different way. Amalei Rav Huna Berei Derav Yeshua L'Rav Papa Adarabba. In fact, not only do I see I see the exact opposite way, and that is Yichofen V'Chozer V'Chofen Lo Yikanes Acher B'Chafin Naso Yef Shesholo Yechzer V'Shesholo Yosir. If you require the Chafin to be done a second time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gemara says, you know what? I would certainly conclude that the replacement Kohen Gadol has got to do his own Chafina. Because consider now that if he just re-chofens, okay, I love making up words. If he re-chofens with the original Kohen Gadol's Chafina, you know it's not going to be a perfect match. Their hands are not exactly the same size. So now what's going to come out now is that it's either going to be a little bit too much or a little bit too little. And as we know, the Chafina has to be relative to the size of the hands of the Kohen Gadol. So that can't be good. And v'iyein chofen chos v'chofen tibaylach. But if a second Chafina is not required in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's a little bit better, right? Now, at least the question is on the table, because we're not going to have the problem of mismatching the amount of Chafina and the replacement Kohen Gadol's hands. So now, should he do it again? Oh, good. Now the question is on the table. Okay. D'ibayilahu. Okay, so where do we stand now after the question has been asked? And the answer is we don't know. Meaning, it's an unanswered question. So the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina. He died. And now you have the replacement. Does he have to do Chafina again? And the answer right now is, we don't know. But the we don't know, however, was not that simple. It was intricate because the Gemara wanted to try to intersect that with the other question of, whether or not a second chafina is required in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. According and according to Rabbi Chanina, that's another right. That's another curveball. And according to Rabbi Chanina, he would never even entertain the question to begin with himself, because anyway he'd have to go back and do and redo the par. And once he redoes the par, so then by definition he's going to be redoing the chafina. Right? It's a very good point. Okay. Ibailahu. And now, as long as we put this on the table, so the Gemara now wants to know, where do we stand on this issue of chofen v'chozer v'chofen? Okay, wonderful question. That's the Gemara's question. Ibailahu. Chofen v'chozer v'chofen olam. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's see. So, kachai samidasa. So we turn to our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the fifth parak of Yuma. And the Mishnah says, kachai samidasa. Now, hopefully you remember, because we already struggled to explain those three words of the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah says, large kohen? Okay, so the chafin is going to fit his hands. Small kohen? The chafin is going to fit his hands. Meaning, it's subjective to the size of the hands of the kohen. And then the Mishnah says, kachi ha'isamidasa. Well, what does that mean? That's a wonderful question. And the same way we struggled just a couple days ago with this, we're going to do the same thing right now. So my love, kashem shemidasa mi b'chutz, kach midasa mi b'fnim. Well, I think here's what it means. It means that you're going to be measuring outside, you're going to be measuring inside. In other words, you measure twice, again, relative to the size of the hands of the kohen. But if that's a correct understanding of the Mishnah, so then that would mean chofen v'chozer v'chofen. You do chafina initially, and you do it again when you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
But even if the same person does it twice, you don't always get all the ingredients in your hand. It's going to be something that's going to be stuck in
the Gemara's I hear you. Again, neither you or I have ever done it, but the Gemara is assuming it's going to be the same amount. Although I hear your point. So the Gemara says, kach midasam mi bifnim lo. Dil mashim ratzal asus mida osem. So the Gemara says, no, that you don't have to explain the Mishnah that way. Here's how you can explain the Mishnah. You can make a measuring cup. Now again, you make a measuring cup is not that helpful, because you're only making a measuring cup relative to this particular Kohen Gadol. Again, once there's a new Kohen Gadol, right, the chafin is always going to be subjective. That's what the Mishnah can mean. Inami shelo yachzav shelo yosir. Or the Mishnah could just simply be telling us it can't be greater, it can't be less than the size of the hands of the Kohen. Okay, that's other ways to explain the Mishnah. Meaning, like we did a couple days ago, we're doing right now, those three words, kach ha'isamidasa, it's really ambiguous what the Mishnah means by that. And the Gemara says, okay, so we can't conclude anything from those three words. So the Gemara says, Tashma, as now we turn to the Amud Beis. Okay, so we struck out with those three words of the Mishnah, but we do have a Braisa, as we're about to see together on the Amud Beis. And the Braisa over here happens to be super clear, meaning this is, on this question, the Gemara will come to a very clear conclusion. The Braisa reads as follows, top of the Amud. Ketzeru Ose, what is he doing? Now, as Rashi points out over here, and if you look at the context of the Braisa, it's clear that we're talking about the second Chafina. Okay, so immediately, in other words, that's all we really need to know to know that the Bryce's position is very clear. You do a second chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Ketzer Ose Elchis is a Bazach Barosh, that's Bosav, V'yesho Mimishinav. And what the Bryce is trying to describe, and again over here, a picture is going to be worth a lot more than the few words that we have in the Gemara. But basically, here's the struggle. You now have the guitarist in this spoon slash bowl. You're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're by yourself. You're the Kohen Gadol. Now, before you lay it on top of the coals, you first are going to transfer it back to your hands. How do you do that? So, what the Gemara says is, Oches es habazach berosh etzbosav. So, one suggestion is to use the tips of your fingers. Now, I can try to demonstrate this. I'm going to really struggle. In other words, you're holding the spoon in your hand, and somehow you're shifting the spoon with your fingertips, so that the spoon, basically the contents of the spoon, are going to be poured into your hands. While, right, this is really the challenging part, not spilling any of it while trying to make that transfer. Alternatively, Yeshua Mimshinav. The Braisa says, maybe you'll do it with your teeth. Now, I know that the Gemara at the beginning of this parak says, no, you're not going to use your teeth, right? Lefnei Melech Basav Adam, in front of a king, you're not going to behave in that way, and certainly not in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it is a curiosity. It's not just a curiosity. It happens also to be Tosfos. In the beginning of this parak, who raises this question, the Gemara earlier rejected the idea of using your teeth, and right now the Gemara says, "Look, you're there by yourself. All right, so you use your teeth, right? No, nobody will know anyway." No, that's right. That wasn't a good point. But anyway, so the so umala begodlo acha magas lebeinat sila yadav vechozer umachzir laso chafnav. Okay. However it's done, meaning again, I don't have the perfect visualization. However it's done, you're transferring it back into your hands, into the Kohen Gadol's hands. When I say you, I mean he himself is doing it. V'chozer machzir l'so chafnav v'tzovra k'dei sheyehe ashna shohe lavo v'yesh omrim mifazra k'dei sheyehe ashna memherz lavo. And in terms of how you lay it on top of the coals, so there are literally two different strategies in terms of how to do it. Basically, if you know you have your spice, where you know one side of the opening allows you to pour out a lot of it, and the other side of the opening only, you know, it's like slotted holes, and do it slowly. And literally, the Gemara over here, the Brice over here, gives two different strategies of how the Kohen Gadol should be laying out the Ketores on top of the coals, either slowly or quickly. Oh well, let me say it better. The one is to be tsover, which basically to pile it right on top. And if you do that, that's a lot of Ketores falling on the coals at one time. It's a slow burn. The alternatively, what's it called? Sprinkling it on top, and that's going to give you a quick burn. Now it happens to be that the Brisa doesn't tell us why I'd prefer one over the other, right? Certainly it's a curiosity, all right? What's one preferred over the other? Anyway, those are two different paths to go down. Vizuhi avoda kasha shebet mikdash. And by the way, the transferring of the Ketores back into his own hands when he's alone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's the toughest. It's the toughest job. Now, immediately the Gemara goes into a fact check. What do you mean that's the toughest job? There are other jobs that are tough. Vizuhi vesulo, vaika malika, vaika kamitza. Yeah, don't you have the malika? And don't you have the kamitza? So, ela zuhi, avoda kasha me avodos kasha shebe mikdash. Okay, so it's one of the toughest avodas in the mikdash. Okay, but put it in there on the list. Meaning top three. Okay, so this is in the top three. So shmamina chofen vechozer vechofen shmamina. Anyway, you know what we got from all this? Well, exactly what we wanted to get, and that is you got to do the chafina again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I know it's funny. The Gemara entertains the question, but then after all said and done, the Braisa couldn't explain it any clearer. That it's done again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so why in the Amud Aleph of the Gemara today, the Gemara is entertaining it as if there are two sides to the issue, and on the Amud Beis of today's daf, there aren't two sides, meaning the conclusion is very clear. I mean, I tried to describe it. It's really hard. It's really it's.
And while he's doing it, the coals are on the floor?
The coals are already, remember. The Ketores was in a spoon in one hand,
right.
And the coals were in the...
It has to be up left,
right. So we'll put the coals down on the floor, and now, right, it's really simple. Just first transfer all that Ketores back into his own hands. Okay, not so simple. And then he's going to... And then he'll lay it on top of the coals. Okay. One last discussion for today. Ibai Luhu. Shachar v'meis maushi kanes acher bidamo. Okay, as I already highlighted, as I already previewed, so we touched this question earlier this morning, and the Gemara now wants to review and address the question straight on. And that is, the Kohen Gadol already did the vidui, not once but twice on his par. And then he shechted it. Blood now is being stirred in a bowl by another Kohen. And Rachmanis, the Kohen Gadol dies, and now in comes the replacement, and can now the replacement Kohen Gadol use this blood? Yes or no? So that's the Gemara's question. So that's the question now is that we know that the Kohen Gadol has to go in Bipar. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean it does not mean, right? We all know this. It does not mean that he's walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a bull. We know that. We know that he's going in with the blood of the bull. But does it have to be the blood of the bull that he did vidui on? Or could it be the blood of a bull that another Kohen Gadol did vidui on, and Rachmanis, that Kohen Gadol died? So Rabbi Chanina Omer Bepar v'lo b'dam shopar. So Rabbi Chanina of a famous Amud Aleph of today's daf. Okay, you don't have to remember that far back. So Rabbi Chanina says that it has to be Bepar v'lo b'dam shopar. It has to be his bull. He must have had to have done vidui on it. And that means to say that if I have a replacement Kohen Gadol and vidui was already done and the shechting was already done, We gotta go all the way back and start again from the par, because it has to be his par. And Reish Lakish, Amar Bepar Ve'afilu B'damashol Par, and Reish Lakish disagrees, and he says, no, it doesn't have to be. As long as you got the blood of the bull, so you don't, it doesn't have to be this Kohen Gadol's bull, it could be the previous Kohen Gadol's bull. Rebbe Amar, I'm sorry, Ve'afilu B'damashol Par. Rebbe Ami Amar Bepar Ve'afilu B'damashol Par, Rebbe Yitzchak Amar Bepar Ve'afilu B'damashol Par, and again, this machlokas now plays out amongst other Amoraim as well. Eisve Rabbi Ami Le Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So the following question was asked from Rabbi Ami. Remember, Rabbi Ami was Bepar Velo B'damashol Par. So it has to be his bull. So now, question. Nimnimo Moshe Yidei Mimenu Ad Shishchot. So a question posed from a Brisa regarding Karban Pesach. In order to participate in Karban Pesach, you have to register. Registration requires you to... I'm going to say something really dumb. It requires you to register. Okay. You know, the Gemara in Pesachim, right? It never really clearly spells out what the registration process is. Doesn't matter. You have to register. Now, what you could do is that if, let's say, you got a better offer, a better group, you'll have some etiquette. You won't tell the current group that you found a better group to participate with. So what you could do is you could withdraw registration. So people can keep registering and keep unregistering. And when does the window closed? Achi Yishchot. It's up to the point of Shechita. Meaning once the Karban Pesach is shechted, so now everyone's locked in or locked out, right? Whichever way. So V'im Isa Achi Yizrok Mi Ba'ilei. So now, according to you, you say that you don't need the par. Damashol par is sufficient. So over here, again, we're jumping from Yom Kippur to Pesach. But if the idea is the same, so then why don't we say the same thing by the Karban Pesach? Meaning, as long as I got the blood, we're still cooking, if you will. Okay, so as long as I got the blood, we should still be good. So the registration shouldn't be closed at the Shechita. You know when registration should be closed? Right before you sprinkle the blood. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a question. So Shani Hassan, the Gemara says, yeah, but I got an answer. And that is, don't compare your Karban Pesach to the par of Yom Kippur. So Shani Asim Dichsiv, Mi Yos Misa. So the Pasuk says, Mi Yos Misa, and Micheyusa Desa. So, and we're darshaning, right? The hay and the ches are interchangeable. And so that means as long as the sheep is alive, so then the window is open, right? People can register, people can withdraw. Once the animal is dead, i.e. Shechita, so that's it. So, fine. So in other words, you can't compare the two. We have a drasha by Karban Pesach. Mesiv Mar Zutra, Ein Podem Lo Be'egev, Lo Be'chayev, Lo Be'shchutev, Lo Be'trefa, Lo Be'klein, Lo Be'koy, Ela B'sam. Okay, the redemption of your Petr Chamor, right, your firstborn donkey. So you have to redeem it. So the Torah is really clear. The Torah says that you have to redeem it with a seh. And the Brisa over here tells us that it has to be a sheep. It can't be anything else. Not a calf, not a wild animal, not a shechted animal, not a trefa, not a crossbreed, not a koi. It has to be a sheep. Okay, and if you want to know what a koi is, so come back again. Another daf. I'll explain in more detail what the koi is. Anyway, so the Gemara now wants to know you can't use a sheep that's shechted. Why not? Meaning, again, if you're subscribed to the viewpoint that as long as the blood is still there, so, right, we should be operational, so why not? So Shani Hasim, Yalef says semi Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, that also is going to be an exception. Why? Because where are you going to find the Parsha Petra Chamor the first time in the Torah? The answer is right there at the end of Parsha's bow, right by the Karban Pesach. And in fact, just like the Torah says sheep regarding Karban Pesach, it also says sheep in terms of the redemption of the firstborn. And just like by the Karban Pesach, the critical moment in terms of when registration opens and closes is going to be before Shechita. Same thing is true regarding Petra Chamor. The only time that you can redeem is only with a live sheep. So, im alahalan zachartam uben shana afkan zachartam uben shana. Really? So you're learning out the halachas of Petra Chamor from Karban Pesach. You know there's a lot of regulations when it comes to Karban Pesach. It has to be male. It has to be within its first year. It has to be an unblemished animal. You want to tell me all that's going to be true regarding the redemption of Petra Chamor? So the Gemara says, Tamalama Tifte, Reba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have a Ribui. The Torah says Tifte more than once. The repeated usage of the word Tifte tells me that it it doesn't have to follow all the restrictions and all the regulations of a Karban Pesach. Itifta tifta riba afilu kulu nami. So the Gemara says, well, once we have a ribui, so then it could be shechted, and it could be a koi, and it could be a, right? In other words, so once we have an expansion, so let's expand. So the Gemara says, imkein semai hanile. The Gemara says, no. You have to balance it with the fact that we also have a limud. So we have an expansion and we have a limud as well. So what do? Like we always do. We balance. So the balance is that it has to be a sheep, like the Karban Pesach. It has to be a live sheep, just like we start off with the Karban Pesach. And then, but the ribui tells us, that it doesn't have to be a 1-year-old and it doesn't have to be a male, et cetera, et cetera. So we're balancing, the two forces that are pulling on the halacha regarding, the pigeon petor chamor. Okay, this is a good place to stop. Okay, we are going to stop here. In fact, let's just quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Today, on the Amud Aleph, we effectively dealt with three questions. One, the carryover from yesterday's discussion. Can I do halacha? Can the Kohen do halacha with his left hand? And although yesterday the answer was yes, today the answer is no. Well, you know what I mean. Today we continue the discussion and conclude that the answer is no. I, the Kohen Gadol, going in on Yom Kippur with the Ketoros in his left hand. So Tosfos Yeshanim says, yeah, that's called an exception. Okay, the second question that we dealt with today is, can I have one Kohen doing the Chafina, dropping it then into the hands of the Kohen Gadol? When the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol is going to be taking the Chafina, are we looking at the result or does he have to be part of the process? How significant is the word lakach? Meaning it's there in the Pasuk. How significant is that word? So good. That was the second question of the Gemara. Teku, the Gemara left that question unresolved. Third question on the Amud Aleph. What if the Kohen does the Chafina and then Rachmanis he dies and now the replacement comes in and picks it up? So does he have to do Chafina anew? That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara left that question unresolved. Chofen v'chozer v'chofen. Does the Kohen Gadol have to do Chafina once he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim again? And the answer is unequivocally yes. Meaning, as we are now in the Amud Beis in the review, the answer was yes. And finally, if the Kohen Gadol already has shechted his par, and then Rachmanis he dies, and now you have the replacement Kohen Gadol, so can he just simply fill in right now using the blood of the first of the par of the first Kohen Gadol? Answer: Machlokas Amarayim. Okay, and that's where we left off in the Gemara.